Welcome to the Everyday Podcast, where we have everyday conversations with everyday people about everyday topics. Well, welcome to this week's episode of the Everyday Podcast, where we have everyday conversations with everyday people about everyday topics. Thanks so much for listening and spending a little piece of your day with us as we continue talking about the things that make up our everyday. If we haven't met yet, my name is Jacob. I get to talk weekly with you about habits, lessons that I've learned, and other great topics that hopefully will make you better as a result. So without much further ado, last week we began discussing setting goals and how we can create targets we'll actually hit. It was really fun breaking down the SMART model. And if you haven't had a chance to listen yet, I highly suggest going back and starting there prior to moving forward into this week's episode. Now, this week is kind of building upon the idea of goal setting. And as you can see from the episode title, that's what we're going to do. We're going to explain why your goals are more than just the finish line. So make sure if you haven't listened to the Making Goals That You'll Actually Meet episode last week, pause right here. Head back to episode 115. Don't worry, I'll be here waiting for you when you get back. But go and listen to that first before you begin diving into this. So if you're ready, if you've listened to it, if you're ready to dive in or want to see what this is all about, let's get started. We're going to talk about your goals are more than just the finish line. You've set your goals, you've got a plan, and you're working hard to meet them. You've set checkpoints, you have a timeline, and you're on fire. But what happens when you've completed your goal? In the first portion of this discussion, we talked about how to create goals that you'll actually meet, but setting a worthwhile goal isn't just about coming to the end of it and reverting or returning back to normal life. Continuing the example we used last time, I've set out to run my first half marathon in a few months, which is both exciting and daunting. While I was on vacation, I had a conversation with my father-in-law and brother-in-law about running long distances after breakfast. We talked about their experiences running half marathons and marathons. My brother-in-law was talking kind of, if you've ever run one of these distance races, you know that, you know, if you're a regular runner, 13.1 miles can, the first time you run it, according to him, be a good, like, all right, we're going to do this. We're going to see how fast it takes me or how long it takes me to do this. If you're continuing to run half marathons, then the second one is kind of figuring out, hey, let me try to set a baseline for how to carry on. And then the final one, the third one that you run, I don't want to say final, but you know what I mean. The third one that you run, that's kind of seeing if maybe you can prioritize and effectively use your energy when you need it in efforts to step into running a full marathon. Now, when we started talking about the full marathon concept, my father-in-law chimed in. He started talking about how the last marathon that he had run, he walked back to the car, which was close to the finish line, and sat down. And it ended up when they got to the next destination, I believe that was breakfast after the race, he just couldn't get out of the car because it was about an hour drive away. So these are the few things that stuck out to me. And just to kind of reiterate it, the race itself, the distances you run and everything that occurs between start and finish is nowhere near as important as what you do prior to the timer starting, after crossing the finish line, kind of the surrounding things that make up the race experience. Even taking it a step further and looking at all of your racing experiences in order to understand how you can, for instance, make things better next time. So just go back to this race thing, the starting line. Think about it. You can't just wake up one day and run 13.1 miles effectively. If you can, please let me know how you do this. You can't just roll out of bed, step into your running shoes, and run about 2.5 hours or more continuously. You have to ramp yourself up to being able to sustain the effort and carry yourself by training for roughly 3 months. That's the suggested training period prior to attempting the run, especially if you're not used to running long distances. On the other side, after finishing the run, just like my father-in-law mentioned, you also can't just stop moving immediately and sit still for too long. Like what happened to him, doing so will lock up your muscles, ultimately diminishing the fitness momentum that you've created and really result in some gnarly pain in your body. This is the same way with your goals. For example, say that you've used the SMART method to create a goal of managing your finances wisely this year. You're not going to automatically know the practices and moves you need to make to be a personal finance wizard. You're going to have to build up to the discipline and mindset that you must learn through trial and error as you budget, say no to some things, and prioritize other things. In my line of work, I tell people almost daily that it takes about 3 months on average to get comfortable with budgeting and making a plan for your money. There's growing pains, awkward moments where you've miscalculated how much you need for groceries. But after practice and building the habit, you get the hang of how to adjust on the fly, as well as eventually, the goal is to delay gratification so that you're not spending money that you don't have. Once you meet your goal of managing your finances wisely, do you just stop there and decide that you've arrived? I sure hope not. Because if you're doing this right, you should continue to keep up the momentum and put this newly formed habit to work as you set further financial goals. When you determine the goals you want to accomplish and measure the distance between where you are now and where you want to be later, in order for your goals to be effective, you can't just set a marker that you can't build upon. You can't just set a marker that you can't build upon. If the point of setting goals is to be better than you were when you first set off, then you'll find that worthwhile goals result in creating rhythms you carry beyond that singular instance. Worthwhile goals end up becoming habits, and good habits take you further than you would have imagined when starting the goal setting process. This means that while using the SMART method we mentioned, you have to take the next step with your goals and think about what they can turn into for your life if you work hard to make them habits. So here are the questions that I suggest you ask once you set your goals in order to solidify them into your life, allow them to be foundations upon which you can build so that, like we talked about with your money a moment ago, you can become financially wise and be able to make better decisions so that you can set other goals. So there are four questions. Number one, is this making me a better version of myself? If good habits are about improving you as a person, it's not going to be worth your time if the goals you set don't cause you to grow. Worthwhile goals that become habits will inevitably refine what makes you you by throwing away the bad and replacing it with the good. Number two, can I replicate this easily? Habits shouldn't be difficult or have too much friction. While it might be awkward as you start before they become a habit, if it doesn't seem like it will become easier in the long run as you continue practicing it, then ultimately you're not going to want to keep doing it. Number three, would I be proud to tell someone to do this too? Now, when your goals are personal and not there for show, we talked about that right after New Year's, why your New Year's resolutions fail. That's the title of the episode. I highly encourage you to listen to that. It really won't matter if you do or don't tell someone about it. But the habits you create and the goals you set that can also improve someone else's life just adds to the practice being worth your time. So even if you don't tell someone about it, if you would be proud to tell them about it, then that's a good sign. And finally, number four, what can I learn from it? If the only thing you get from your goals is a check mark in a box and can't take away anything from the process, then you're not doing it right. Point blank. While you don't have to know everything you can learn from a goal prior to setting out on accomplishing it, identifying a couple things that you feel like you can learn and apply is a huge factor to consider. So let me just reiterate the four questions again. Number one, is this making me a better version of myself? Number two, can I replicate this easily? Number three, would I be proud to tell someone to do this too? Number four, what can I learn from it? The goals you set should be a catalyst for forming good and positive habits that make you a better person as a result. So think about the last time you accomplished a goal. Did you carry any lessons from it with you? Did those lessons change how you do things now? Congratulations, you formed a habit. Now, think about these goals that you've set, that you've began working on, you just finished using the SMART method, you're working on trying to get from where you are now to there. How can you see this making you a better person and impacting your everyday life? The goals you set are not the finish line. They're the first step to making you a better person than you were yesterday. All right, so as we land this plane, let's bring this back home. You've set some solid goals. You've fleshed out these goals to see how they can become good habits that can help you grow. So what's next? We've kind of created a plan. We've got some direction on what we're aiming to do. Next week, we'll kind of zoom in a little bit on this idea of habits. We'll dissect what a habit really is using some really smart people's ideas and thoughts so we can understand why they're so important, both for the everyday, the things that we do day in and day out, and our growth, the things that we want to do tomorrow. So between now and then, if you haven't already subscribed to the Everyday Podcast, make sure you don't miss out on the new content we're sharing. I'm especially excited, not only about the past few episodes that we've done, but next week's episode. So make sure that you're not out of the loop on that. And if you like what you're hearing, if you think someone in your circle could benefit from this and you think that being on this journey would be fun and worthwhile for them, share this episode with them in some way, shape, or form. Whatever podcast player you're using, there is going to be a share function in the heads-up display in the dashboard for you to share this via text message, Facebook message, whatever. Make sure that you are passing along the idea that your everyday matters to someone else. If you lead a team, work on a team, or have problems that come up in everyday life, which I'm probably talking to every single one of you, then you need my latest book titled Work the Problem. This book will help you develop a habit of better problem solving and empowerment that will elevate your world and make it easier to deal with the obstacles you face. This isn't just a bunch of theories or things that I've studied of other people doing it. This is a field guide to how I have solved problems in the past, both big and small, things that have affected a lot of pretty big operations, and also the smaller everyday things. And every single time I've applied it, it's worked. And I think that if you apply the things that I talk about and Work the Problem, you will succeed and become better as a result. You can find a link to that book in Amazon. I've published with Amazon, thanks to the gracious people over there for helping me with that. And you can purchase a copy today using that link in the show notes. That's all I've got this week. So come back next week as we dig into habits. I promise you're not going to want to miss this one. I'm already fired up thinking about it. Remember, your everyday matters. Thanks for listening to the Everyday Podcast. Don't miss out on new episodes dropping every Monday. Hit the follow or subscribe button in your preferred podcast player to keep up to date. For resources and additional info mentioned in this episode, head to the show notes to learn more. While you're there, you'll find links to our social media outlets you can follow to stay connected between episodes. Remember, your everyday matters.